It's time for Journeys with Rebecca here on BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Hello, and welcome to another Journeys with Rebecca. I am Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries. I have another wonderful guest today, Jackie Woods. She's the author of the book Soulmate or Cellmate. You know, it's a fun title, and it's truly an insightful book. I can't wait to talk to Jackie a little later on. But first, I'd like to invite you to the website, and that's journeyswithrebecca.com. You know, I have some very interesting stories posted in Our World News. You know, some news stories that miss the pages of the mainstream media. You know, my webmaster and myself, we search out these news stories, but quite a number of them come from listeners just like you. So if you find something that's interesting, go ahead, let's share it with the rest of the Journeys audience. You can do that by emailing me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. I can say that. And a quick thanks to one of my great sponsors of Journeys, Your Never-Ending Life. It's book one of the Universal Learning Series by Sandy Andrews. Now, you can actually meet Sandy September 17th from 3 to 5 p.m. at Barnes & Noble on the Plaza in Kansas City, Missouri. You know, talk with Sandy, and you can also get an autographed copy of Your Never-Ending Life. You can find out more by visiting his website, and that's UniversalLearningSeries.com. Oh, and by the way, I did an interview with Sandy a few weeks back, and you can listen to that interview. The link is right there on the audio archives. Okay, back to my guest today, Jackie Woods. Now, her web address is JackieWoods.org. You know, Jackie's teachings transcend traditional self-help, which more often focuses on fixing symptoms and simply coping with dysfunction. Jackie instead focuses on empowering your heart for extraordinary living, identifying and facilitating true healing and accelerated personal growth. Her new book is Soulmate or Cellmate. You know, it offers practical tools for relationship improvement and healing, including understanding your heart energies and the three-dimensional relationship, overcoming your inner child, how to communicate better, and how to navigate common challenge areas and hidden enemies. Coming up next, Jackie Woods, so stay tuned.
The world's original organized paranormal field investigation is back, and only in Los Angeles. Ghost Expedition, since 1994, has thrilled thousands of ghost hunters, psychics, and paranormal enthusiasts in New Orleans, Hollywood, and England, and have provided a first-class opportunity to experience the paranormal and enhance their own psychic ability. It's only for a limited time, so don't miss your opportunity to participate in what changed the way the world interacts with the paranormal. Ghost Expeditions. Find out how at journeyswithrebecca.com.
Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 in the series, Universal Learning. It introduces the revolutionary philosophical theory of universal learning. The book is written in an easy-to-read and broad-minded fashion. Your Never-Ending Life explores subjects such as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. It takes you on the journey to the discovery of you, the never-ending eternal spirit. You will develop an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of God the Creator. To learn more or to get your copy, visit www.universallearningseries.com. That's www.universallearningseries.com.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. You know, as I promised, tonight we have a very special guest. Her name is Jackie Woods, and she has written this marvelous book. It's a guide to healthy relationships, and geez, can't we all use some of that? It's called Soulmate or cellmate. You make the choice. So let's give her a really warm welcome. Jackie, welcome to the show, dear.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Oh, this is just going to be fabulous, fabulous. You know, I like the fact that you have put this together, a guide to healthy relationships. You know, as a person that does personal consultations and readings for people, Jackie, I have found that so many people have, I call it, have settled into relationships. I think a lot of it maybe is because they're not sure what they're looking for, or maybe their own lack thereof is that they choose the, it may be the right partner at the wrong time, or the wrong partner at the right time, or simply just not the person they're supposed to be with. And then they try to fix things that are broken,
right.
You know, and it wasn't working to begin with. So, you know, this is going to be a really fun time. I'm so happy that you are here with us. So why don't we get started? I'm going to kind of turn this over to you and let you kind of go through the steps of what it takes to create a healthy soulmate relationship or a cellmate relationship. I love that. That's so great.
Well, you know, I think the beginning point, Rebecca, is for a person to find out who they are so they'll know what they want to bring to a relationship. We usually think what we want to get from a relationship instead of what we want to bring.
Isn't that a true statement?
And so if we start with what we want to bring, then we're beginning to define what kind of relationship we want right there in the beginning. And, of course, if we're bringing it and we're claiming that's who we are, we energetically are empowering and magnetically drawing that person to us. But most people don't start with a definition. They just start with, oh, well, there's somebody who's interested in me. Let me see what patterns I have to match in order to be with them. And that doesn't work.
That's so true. Absolutely true.
And as a result of approaching it that way, even if they have some healthy patterns to bring and some good energies to bring and are a heartful person, even if all of that is real, and most people have all of that, they haven't defined it. They haven't started that creative process of making that happen. They went at it from the back door, and what they get out of it will be a lot of misery.
Well, here's an idea. See if you agree with this. I try to tell people, you know, you hear, especially women will talk to other women, you know, about if they're single, about, you know, their relationships or prospective relationships. And I noticed that a lot of women will go, oh, he looks so cute, or he's very handsome, or, you know, something of that nature. And they'll say, I wonder if he's the one. And they haven't even had a date with this person yet. I mean, they really haven't even had anything to do with him. And I say to him, I said, well, you don't even know if you like this person. Just because they're cute on the outside or handsome, you don't even know if you like that person. So instead of looking at them right off the get-go, I wonder if this is a guy I'm going to marry.
Right.
I'm blown away by that.
I know, it is amazing, isn't it?
It is.
You know, I think our advertising plays into that a lot. You know, everything is sold by a sexy model, and we get that image that this is what attraction is about, and attraction leads to relationship, and this is what relationship is about. And when that is the approach, then we miss that resonance of two souls coming together in a soulmate relationship.
Well, now what's your let's define that. What is your take on a soulmate? What is your thought processes on a soulmate for each
other?
Well,
I think, you know, I do know that we have better matches than some. There
yeah.
are good matches and there are okay matches and then there are really poor matches. But even a really good match needs to have some tools for how to lay out a blueprint for their relationship, because we don't have a lot of good role models out there. Some of us came from homes where the mother and father got along okay. Some came from homes where they didn't get along at all. But very few came from homes where they knew how to say, this is who I am. I bring, for instance, a lot of play and you bring a lot of play, what form does your play look like? What form does my play like look like? And how do we define that together? How do we come up with forms that fit both of us so that I'm just not giving in here and you're giving in there? It's not about giving up parts of ourselves. It's about bringing the parts that do come together. But first of all, we have to give up our attachment to forms and get back to who we are that we're bringing. For instance, I have adventure and my husband has adventure. However, his form of adventure is like driving on the ice. That is not my form of adventure. That's not how mine looks. So, you know, I'm not attached to having one particular way to do adventure. I know I just can't do it that way. So he has to look for other forms other than that to come together with me in the energy of adventure. And if we can get past our attachments to forms, then it gets a lot easier in bringing two people together in situations where they can really find resonance of the heart. And that, the resonance of the heart, is what brings two souls together and begins the relationship on a soulmate path.
Okay. I have to agree with every bit of that, and I've said before, one should never give up their self for the sake of another. You know, that's that whole premise that many of us have learned by, unfortunately, maybe from, you know, other examples, our parents, grandparents, is that it's about giving up your life because of being married to this other individual.
Right.
And, you know, somebody has to, quote-unquote, wear the pants in the family. So it's their way, and that's the way that it is. I mean, I have just always felt like that was such a inappropriate way to live, that it has to be, you don't give up of yourself, but you share with each other, and there's parts. I don't know that one person can be 100% of anything to anyone.
That's a very good point to make, because if we give up ourselves, which, of course, I don't believe in doing that at all. I believe in bringing parts you can't share, but there will be other parts you can't share. And the parts you can't share, you have to find other people to share with, or you will shrink.
Well, now that kind of gets us into the jealousy thing. What would you say to somebody? I know many, many people like this that that are in relationships, in marriages, that if it doesn't matter who it is, the male or the female, but maybe they want to go and do something that the other partner doesn't particularly enjoy or doesn't like or has never been part of their life, the partner that doesn't like that is the one that's like putting guilt trips or demands on them, or, you know, it's like this, you can't do anything without me because then that means we're not a couple. What would you say to something like that? I don't know if jealousy is necessarily the right word, but...
Well, it is the right word.
Okay.
It's sort of this vicious little demon that's usually out there. However, if the couples can sit down and say, for instance, I have had to say to my husband, you know, you're just not real good at emotional sharing. However, that's important to me. And so I'm needing to spend some time with somebody else. And let's talk about who you're comfortable with that being. Now, he's real comfortable with me spending time with my daughter-in-law. And so that's the person that I share with, because that works for me, it works for her, and it works for him. So when you kind of come to a place where everyone's in agreement, even though he would like to have all of my time, now that's just a what is, but that doesn't work for me. So I include him when we're making agreements about how I'm going to express those parts of myself in other places.
Well, I like that.
It works. It's not perfect, but it works.
Well, you know, as long as it works. And I think that really gets back to the beginning point of all this, Jackie, about a person sitting there and looking at themselves going, what do I need? Obviously, if somebody is hanging on, or maybe they even go with this person to go bowling or
go as, you know, the adventurer on the ice kind of thing, and that's just not their thing. They're doing it just because they don't want to be away from this person, or they don't want them to experience something without them. You know, that's obviously an issue that maybe they haven't looked at themselves as to, they're going to go, you know, take the car out on the ice and spin it around, and it's like, is it really necessary for me to tag along to do that? To be, you know, because for me that doesn't seem like that's quality time for either person. The person that's there is not enjoying it, and the person that would enjoy it isn't enjoying it because they know that the other person isn't enjoying it.
Right.
It's like, oh my goodness.
That's true. So a person does have to come from a whole different picture about what relationship is, and we have to give up those old pictures that we grew up with.
Good idea.
That we give up this part and you give up that part and we just tolerate a lot. That doesn't make for a soulmate relationship. And you have to give up those old pictures. You just have to give it up, and you have to speak up and say, I need this and I can't do this and I'm going here to do this and this is what I bring. How, and this is what you bring, that I see we bring a similar energy, the energies of who we are. Now let's decide some forms together that would work for us. And taking it all back to the energy of who we are makes it easier to give up forms. And if we think, oh, well, I'm an athlete, I have to go out and play golf every single weekend, well, then that's saying you're in a form. Whatever energy you get from playing golf, whether it's the community or whether it's the play or whether it's the focus or whatever it is you get from that, if you can say, really, that's the energy that I am when I play golf, and yes, I may still want to play golf, but I can share that energy with you in other ways.
Well, and that's a really good thing right there. You know, I'm sitting here and I was listening to you talk, and I'm looking through your table of contents in your book, and you know, you have got some very succinct chapters in here that deal with very succinct issues that almost everyone deals with or has dealt with when in regards to relationship. Like soulmate or cellmate is your first one, and you talk about acceptable flaws, and then, of course, communication is one of them, parroting your inner child, your space, their space, our space. I like that one. And keeping relationship spaces clear. I think some of the other ones that I like, too, though, are like the hidden enemies, which includes competition, manipulation, suppression, stagnation, and denial. I think that's something that maybe that I'd like you to touch on a little bit about what the hidden enemies are, so that people out there who are listening, maybe they can recognize this either in themselves or other people or something, and maybe that will help them.
Okay. Let's take them one at a time.
Sure.
What's the first one I have listed there?
It's competition.
Oh, yes.
Your favorite, I can tell.
It sounds a little crazy that we would get in competition with our partner.
Oh, no.
But it happens. And it happens a lot when a couple has children. And you will see that the mother is having to spend a lot of time with the children, and the husband begins to feel like he's in competition for her time with the children. And this is always a real stressful time for new relationships when they start a family. Even though the husband loves the child, and this, not that this always happens, but many times it does happen. So the time thing, you really get in competition about the time, or it happens when one of the partners takes a new job and they're having to spend a lot more time at the job. Or when a person starts a hobby or moves into a new house and all of that adjustment. Anytime something changes in your life, it's real easy for the time competition, and I'm just talking about one area, and there's lots of different areas, to happen, and you have to really look at that and say, okay, this is what I'm feeling competitive about. I'm feeling like, or money, oh gosh, that's a big one. You have more money to spend than I have on your, you can go play golf. I don't make that much money. I can't do that. It can just be around anything, around the kids, around time, around money, around the relatives. You know, when one person lives close to a relative and the other one is far away from theirs, and the one that's close wants to spend a lot of time with their family, there can be that competitive, jealousy comes into this competitive thing. There could be the, well, I feel like I'm competing with your family for your love. So it's such a broad category, but it has to be addressed, and you have to look and see that starts eating away at the love and the commitment in the relationship.
Absolutely.
And so you have to address it.
So then you go into the manipulation.
Yeah. And you start doing things to get even, and you start doing things in spite of, and to spite. And that, those kinds of negative actions just start building what I call little dustbusters of negative energies in the relationship that finally just get to this huge ball of something that explodes. So if you can catch these things early on, and then it gets into the communication piece, because you really have to talk about what's going on with you, and you have to work it out together. Not that you're going to give up your family, or you're going to give up your hobby, or you're going to change your job, but whatever it is that's missing, back to the energy thing again, whatever energy that you used to share that is missing, how can that be brought back in? Maybe not to the same amount of time or in the same way, but how can it be brought back into the relationship?
You know, I'm sitting here as I was listening to you, and you know, I know of a lot of couples that's been together for many, many years, and you know, obviously through the years they've went and done these things, you know, whether a new job, and then eventually that job has went on for years, and somebody's gone, the person, you know, doesn't speak up and says, you know, I'm missing this part, you know, how can we get back to it? You know, they raise the kids, and you know, 20, 30 years later they go, well, I don't like you anymore, I don't have anything in common, let's get a divorce.
Right.
And it all stems from, first of all, is not recognizing, I think is what you're saying, is what's going on. Second of all, is certainly not communicating it. And third of all, is finding some kind of a solution. You know, because you people, I think, absolutely, I've heard people say before too, Jackie, is, well, they should know. They should know me.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes,
I don't agree with that.
No, I don't either. And it is so commonly said, you know, well, they should know me by now. They should know I need this. They should know that upsets me.
Not if you don't speak up. If you don't speak up, they're not going to know.
No.
Absolutely. Well,
And then we get to communication, which is a broad subject in and of itself, because people's thinking is so different. You know, some people think in terms, and I talk about this a great deal in the book and made CDs about it and done workshops on it, because it's just so important that people understand that there are really, I call them, four basic thinking modes. Some people think in terms of their doing and the action and the solving of the problem, you know, the physical world. And then there are the people that everything to them is, how does it feel? It's a feeling subject.
Okay, now this gets into the four types of communications, right?
Yes.
Well, let's bring that back on the next segment, because we're just out of time.
Okay.
Here. So we're going to get back into the communications. You guys, do not go away. We're going to be right back with Cellmate or Soulmate. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now 1-800-728-2730 or visit the website at www.fatemag.com. Again, the number is 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Don't forget to visit Rebecca's website for all the latest Journeys news, guest information, audio archives, and more. Log on to JourneysWithRebecca.com.
Order your collector's edition DVD of Derek Acora Raw, featuring over 2 hours of uncensored, never-before-seen footage of Derek Acora putting his psychic abilities to the test inside Hollywood's most famous haunted locations like the Comedy Store, the Pink Palace, and the Vogue Theater. You'll never see Derek Acora, the world's most televised psychic medium, like this again. Derek Acora Raw, The Lost Hollywood Tapes. Order your collector's DVD now at JourneysWithRebecca.com.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.JourneysWithRebecca.com.
All righty, we are back with Jackie Woods. We are talking about soulmate or cellmate. You make the choice. And Jackie, you left off on the last segment. We were talking about going back into the communication, because that is the first and foremost thing in any relationship. It doesn't matter if it's in a love relationship or not, at least my opinion. Communication is everything. So you were giving us like the four types of communication. So if you want to kind of maybe refresh everyone's memory, let's just go with that.
Okay. The four thinking types that I have discovered are the physical thinkers, the mental thinkers, and the emotional thinkers, and I call them spiritual thinkers, but that's kind of a bad title because it's not really about spirituality. It's more about possibilities, and these are the people that think in the big picture and are not so grounded in reality and really don't do a lot with details, but boy, they can give you a big picture and they can see the big picture and give you all kinds of possibilities in it. And they're creative thinkers. Then you have, if you have someone like that that gets with a person who is very logical and fact-oriented and this is the way it is and this is the right way, and then you have this person wanting to experience all these possibilities and they go, ooh, well, they ended on that subject and here this other person went way on over to the other side. And so they have a hard time staying in sync sometimes unless they understand the other person. Now, I happen to be one of those kinds of what I call the spiritual thinkers that sees the big picture and thinks of possibilities. And my husband is what I call a physical thinker. He's a doer. He thinks in terms of doing. I tell him jokingly that he has no nouns, he just speaks in verbs.
That's cute. I like that, Jackie.
And so when we were first married, I would just go off from one possibility to another and just have this conversation, and I'm just enjoying talking about it and experiencing what it could be like, and so he goes out and does it for me. And I would say, well, honey, I didn't want you to do that. And he said, well, you said you did. I said, no, I was just looking at the possibility of doing that.
Oh, my goodness. How fun is that?
So we have had to learn each other's communication styles. And when he's just talking about what he's done with no subject of what he was doing, just the doing part, like, well, I washed it and I polished it, and I have to go back and say, and what is the subject? Because I'm learning that he thinks in terms of doing. I think in terms of all the possibilities and different ways that it could be done. Then you have my daughter-in-law, that I said I like to talk to about feelings, because her subjects are always the feelings. She talks about how something happened that made her feel a certain way, for how if she does it, she's going to do it, and it will have a certain feeling to it, the doing of it. So she speaks in terms of feelings. And my son, her husband, is the mental. He's factual, and, you know, if you get all the facts together, why go off on another tangent, Mom? Why are you going off on a possibility? We already have all the facts. This is just as far as you need to go.
Waste so, no time.
So we all speak different languages in this family, and we've had to learn how to, what I call, cover each other. We don't have to change, but we have to be able to hear how they're speaking, and if we really want to be heard sometimes, we have to speak their language.
So it's about learning how another person in a relationship communicates.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes total sense.
And if you don't know how they communicate, for instance, if you're just giving them all the facts of what happened, and they're not concerned with the facts, they're just concerned with how it turned out. For instance, I had a friend tell me today that she was the grandmother of a new baby boy, and she's a physical thinker. And I said, and so how much does it weigh, and what's its name? And she said, you know, I didn't ask that. I just asked if it was healthy.
Isn't that fun?
Uh-huh.
That's just the difference in the way that people think. Isn't that interesting? I like the way you brought that forward.
And so we have to be aware of that.
Absolutely.
And what causes a lot of conflict is people wanting the other person to communicate the way they do, or expecting that if they have said it, it's understood.
Right. I learned that one years ago, that just because people listen, they don't really necessarily hear what you're saying. It's just because of the way that they interpret, depending on what type of a personality they are, how it comes into them.
And they're going to perceive it in their thinking.
Yes.
And even if they repeat the words back to you, and some people use the repeating words back, it doesn't mean anything. They still have taken it in a different picture.
Right, exactly. So as we've talked about the communication, Jackie, what are, in kind of a roundabout nutshell kind of a thing, what would be the steps to somebody that was really, maybe they were single and they thought, well, I'm ready for a relationship. What kind of direction would you give them?
I would start with saying what three heart energies, I call them heart energies, some people call them qualities of character, you know, there's all kinds of names. What three energies would you say that you are strongest in? You know, some people would say kindness, and some would say generosity, and some would say order and organization, and some might say passion, and some might say focus, or commitment, or loyalty, or dedication, or, you know, the list is endless. So I would say, what are your three strongest heart energies? And I would start there, and I would say, okay, now, how would you bring those to a relationship? How would you like to give those to somebody, and how would you like to receive that energy back? So that you have the resonance of the giving and the receiving, but it's around a common energy, not just, I'm going to do this for you, and so you better do this for me later. It's not a barter system. It's a resonance. And when you start defining that and start owning that's who you are and that's what you want to bring and that's what you want to have shared, you begin to magnetically pull that to you. Because energy has a magnetic quality.
It does. And, you know, some of the things that I've told people, it's not a, you know, I hear people say a lot saying, you know, I just, you know, I want to be in a relationship, you know, or I, you know, want to be married. And then, you know, I say to them, I say, well, you know, all that's great and good, but it's a two-way street. You want to be the right person for them and them to be the right person for you. But in order for you to understand that, you have to understand yourself first.
Right.
So it's a lot of times people look at it as, what can this person do for me, just as you talked about from the very beginning. And I think that's a huge pitfall when a person is looking at, you know, dating, or maybe they're ready to go out and start dating, or what have you, or, you know, they've healed from a past relationship, they're ready to get healthy. I think that's a good starting point.
And if they're already in a relationship and they're wanting to reevaluate, I tell people, say, okay, what three energies do you share already, and how can these be redefined? And then to block out, and I say start with three, and then all the other parts of you, just put them aside. And you can bring them in little at a time, but put them aside and just experience those outside of the relationship for a while until you've really grown three of them strong enough that there is a shared resonance together. Because it's better to have three strong energies that you share, that you resonate, rather than have a whole bunch of little ones where you really don't get a whole lot out of it.
Good advice. That's very good advice. That's very good advice. So after that, then what? What can somebody else do to kind of take a look?
Well, then once they have pulled in this person that they have defined, really, this other person's going to have some patterns that they really don't like.
That's a given.
And some that they really do like. I mean, you just get that mixture in any package. I don't care who it is.
That's true.
And so you're going to have some qualities that you don't like. But I shouldn't say qualities. You have some patterns you don't like. And what you have to do is you have to define out those. Now, let me give an example of that. My husband organizes, and it is organization for him. He organizes by putting stacks of things around. If he puts them away, he says he forgets them. Now, I am a neatnik, and I put everything away, and everything has a place. So my piece of organization and his look very different. Now, if I just go to him and say, you have to have organization the way I have it, then that's not fair. Or if he says that I have to have it the way he has it, then that's not fair. But how do we live together? I mean, his form drives me crazy. So how do we do this? Well, he has a room of stacks. I shut the door.
What does it say, Jackie, about somebody that does both of those things?
That does both of what?
The neat freak and the stacks. You see, I'm one of those that my entire house, kitchen, everything has a place. Everything has to be put in that place. However, you go to my office, and I'm a stack person.
Well,
because if I put it away, then I can't find it. But yet I'm totally opposite of that in the rest of the house.
Well, you've done exactly what he and I have worked out together. You have given yourself a room to do that.
Okay. Well, good. I just didn't know what the mixture meant.
And the truth is, we have those kinds of relationships with ourselves.
Well, that's true.
I mean, we have parts of ourselves that are in total opposition to other parts of ourselves.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
And we have to learn how to be in relationship with those.
That's true. I mean, that's the premise of anything, is to learn about yourself.
Because if you had stacks all over your house, you'd be really frustrated.
Yes, I would. It would drive me nuts to no end. Absolutely. So I can relate to both sides of it. I can relate to your husband and to you. I'm like, okay, I'm there, but here I'm the stack person. So, interesting. Well, you know, before we run out of time, your book, by the way, is a fabulous book for people that are really wanting to explore the whole relationship concept, whether they're in one, whether they want to go in one, whether they're not in one and they just want to learn a little bit more about themselves. Can you please tell us where they can get the book and how it's available and things like that before we run out of time, Jackie?
Yes, thank you. We do have a national distributor, so they can get it at any bookstore. If they don't have it already, they need to have them order it, or they can order it directly from our website, which is jackiewoods.org. O-R-G. JackieWoods.org, and it's just plain old Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, none of the fancy stuff, and Woods with an S, JackieWoods.org. or at any bookstore. All they have to do is, if they don't have it in already, they just ask them to order.
Well, I know I've been to some of the ones here locally where I live, and I know that I've seen your book out and about on the shelves, so it is readily available.
It is out there,
yeah.
And it's also on Amazon.com, too.
Right. But just as a reminder for everyone, for those of you who maybe didn't get a chance to write it down, her link is directly there on the front page, so you can just click right on that link underneath Jackie Woods' picture, and it'll take you right to the website, pardon me, so that you guys can get that ordered for yourself. This is a must-have book that doesn't have a lot of psychobabble in it. It's straightforward. It's informative. It's also entertaining, in as much as that you should be able to see a little bit about yourself in this book. And that can't be hurtful at all if you can learn a little bit about yourself. Jackie, this has absolutely been a delight and so informative. Thank you so much for being here with us today. All right. Well, you take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your never-ending life. Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending, eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of the Creator. Your never-ending life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. For more on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, is available at Barnes & Noble and Borders bookstores and online.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Call Rebecca and schedule your private reading. 888-95-TAROT. That's 888-958-2768. Where will your life journey take you?
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back to Journeys. And we are here with Nancy Miller Ogren, my wonderful astrologer, who has come to give us yet again another update. And this one is going to be on the new moon. And there's also another special event. We talked to you guys a couple of weeks ago about another event about the eclipse. So welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
It's always great to hear from you, my dear.
Thanks.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit. Let's do a little recap for us and then get right into what's coming up with the new moon, because that's going to be also very special.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, and this is the second Virgo new moon, because we had one August 23rd and now it's September 22nd. We're going to have September 22nd. We're going to have the second Virgo new moon, solar eclipse. And that means that not only is it a new moon and the second Virgo new moon, this solar eclipse energy will last for the next year. So we are going to have a huge opportunity to bring into form and manifestation what it is we have been working on, working toward, working for, how we've been trying to create within our lives something that really felt like it was dependable and solid at where we were headed in our future. And that's what we will be accessing here for this whole next year. Refining if we've already got it into some form, all of that. So really this is an opportunity, a large opportunity, and an opportunity to release all of those fears and doubts that it's hard and not really doable to achieve what we're hoping to achieve. We've got a gift from the heavens. We get to have time.
Wow. You know, one of the things that I remember, or actually I'm not real clear on it, but one of the things I do remember is you talking about the first Virgo moon in August.
Mm-hmm.
And what it, and you said it that the energy was going to remain with us.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do a quick recap on that so that people remember that? Because, you know, it's, you know, several weeks in between times, and, you know, I don't know about you, but my memory's not as good as it used
right.
to be.
Right. Well, me too.
Uh-oh.
but it really is, it's about Virgo. Remember, you know, as I've said before, Virgos kind of get a bad rap because they're the nitpickers, worry warts, and limp patrol, you know, but
right.
They're not. They're the mentors. They're the ones that the symbol of Virgo is the maiden bringing in the harvest. And there's that genuineness that I am here to assist and in my own progression and in anyone else's that I can be there for. That's Virgo. And they will say, do you have your ducks in a row? Because listen, if you go off 6 ways from Sunday, what do you think you're going to achieve? You're not even going to show up for Monday. But if you have your ducks kind of in a row and a little bit of a list, I even had my husband say to me the other day, could you, when I was giving him a verbal honey-do list, he said to me, could you write that down? And I said, sure. 27 years, he's never asked me to write anything down.
Oh, my goodness.
But he said, because I'd like to get them done. So I really think we have to show everyone in our lives, and if we have to write a note about it, if we write a little bit of a commitment list, if we agree to something together, a couple gets together and says, this is our commitment list for the next year. We're on the same track. So that in January, when one's gone off one way and one's gone off another and says one says to the other, why didn't you tell me this in September? Well, there's a reason that it would have made everything easier. So in September and October and November, communicate and write it down yourself. A little jog of a note helps you stay on track. And in March when he says, what would you like to do? Or she says, what were we planning for spring? You have it right there. So it's organization, commitment to a vision. Not organization to clean up the basement. I'm not as concerned about the basement as I am the rest of your life.
There you go. The basement will be there.
Yeah.
Well, and that is really good. I mean, the commitment could be, you know, something that they want to do, something they want to accomplish.
Absolutely.
They want to take classes, or, you know, they want to, you know, somehow be better with themselves or with each other, or, you know,
absolutely,
take dance lessons, whatever it is.
Whatever it is. If you're getting married, you should take tango lessons.
No,
if
I love it.
If you're going to Yellowstone, you should take a photography class. Seriously, make it a notch higher than everybody else would do. You know, make a commitment to something that you want it to really resonate, really resonate. And the commitment then stays with you because you start with something, a photography class, tango lessons, and you're going to take it further. You're going to realize later, I loved that. What would I like to do that compared to that? You've brought your own standard of living up by one step out of the norm. And that's really, and again, you think Virgo's conservative, but Virgo says, what would you like to harvest in your own life as a new way of being, as the foundation of what you're about?
That's absolutely phenomenal. So we can all take advantage of that. And I guess I think the point, too, that I would like to make is that you don't have to be a Virgo to take advantage of these energies.
Oh, no, no, no.
You see, that's the point.
Because in everybody's chart, Virgo shows up. There are 12 houses with the 12 signs in them somewhere. And just like when we talked about Sharon last time I was on, Sharon of Ohio and her job, well, I see from the chart where Virgo is activated for you and what part of your life that applies to, and how do you use that? How do you use those energies productively? Absolutely, it affects everybody. Whether you know it or not, it's affecting you.
Well, yeah, and we've talked a lot about that, about the energies, that, you know, they're subtle energies, to be sure. I mean, it's not like somebody comes up and taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, Virgo, the energy is here.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Not that. It's about being aware that because every day we're a little different than the day before,
mm-hmm.
somehow, some way, even in the middle of a day. I mean, you know, you may start your day out feeling kind of low or awful, and then by the end of the day, you're feeling pretty buoyant and happy. And,
absolutely.
You know, you have a myriad of emotions,
mm-hmm.
and ups and downs according to your biorhythms. And a lot of that has to do with the planetary configurations as they move through the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects us. And if we become aware of that subtlety, gee, I feel differently than I did a couple hours ago. What's happened? What's going on?
Exactly.
So I think if we just keep that as a reminder to let people know, become aware of the subtleties of your day.
That's
because
right.
That's the little miracles that happen.
Exactly. And when you realize either the morning was great and the afternoon deteriorated, or the other way around, that, okay, never mind what the issue was, take advantage of the energy and do a little journaling or do a little ceremony or walk around the block. I don't care. But take charge of the energy and use it for your forward progression.
Absolutely. Now, along that line, Nancy, I'd like you to, you know, we ask people, please write us your emails. If you would be so kind as to let people know as to what we're looking for so we can answer your questions right here on air.
Absolutely. We just need your name, your birth date, your birth time, and your birth place, and then a question that you'd like answered. And I run your chart. You send that email to journeyswithrebecca.com. No.
Mailbag.
Mailbag.
Yeah. It's all good. Mailbag at journeyswithrebecca.com.
Exactly. Mailbag. I forgot the mailbag. and just ask that question, and she forwards that to me, and I run your chart, and I look at what the answer is. And because I've done a number of classes and people over this last 30 years, inevitably it really helps make the focus and make it work. And you can always contact me at nancyogren@comcast.net, and I'll get your message.
Sounds great. You guys, thanks a lot. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more Journeys in just a moment. The world's original organized paranormal field investigation is back, and only in Los Angeles. Ghost Expeditions. Since 1994, they have thrilled thousands of ghost hunters, psychics, and paranormal enthusiasts in New Orleans, Hollywood, and England, and have provided a first-class opportunity to experience the paranormal and enhance their own psychic abilities. It's only for a limited time, so don't miss your opportunity to participate in what changed the way the world interacts with the paranormal. Ghost Expeditions. Find out how at journeyswithrebecca.com.
Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to FateMag.com.
I'd like to thank my guests tonight for sharing their wonderful information and knowledge with us. And a special thanks goes out to you, the listeners. Now, you know, the guests I have on air are given the opportunity to share their viewpoints or ideas. Now, you and I have the opportunity of choice in regards to those ideas or viewpoints. Be sure to check in next week for more enlightening, educational talk and discoveries. This is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey take you? Many blessings and good night.